This morning, we're going to continue our study on really the last teachings that Jesus gave us before he went to the cross. We've been studying out of the book of Mark, and that last week, the last chance that Jesus had to speak to the multitudes, and we're going to be studying out of the book of John in chapter 12. If you remember from the beginning of that last week, Jesus goes in Jerusalem for the last time. He sees a fig tree. And he sees it looks very healthy with lots of leaves. And we remember the parable of the fig tree. That having leaves and looking healthy is not enough unless you bear fruit for the Lord. And the fig tree, God was patient, gave it 3 years, even four. But there came a time in which it had to bear fruit. Then Jesus gets to Jerusalem and he comes to the temple. And the temple's become a marketplace for selling of the things that they need for sacrifices. And Jesus calls them actually a den of robbers because no longer is it a house of prayer. And we took a look at our congregation, the congregations of the Lord, that we're to be the temple of God. And we have a role to fulfill in his kingdom. Then we looked at the vineyard last week. If you remember the parable of the vineyard that Jesus gave us, pre-picture of or similar to the one in Isaiah, the idea that God had given us everything. He had given the vineyard, he had tilled the soil, he had planted the grapes, but he expected a harvest in return. He expected something back from us. And the very last teaching that Jesus gave us last week was when they asked him, should we pay taxes or not? And Jesus says, yes, you should pay taxes. Give back to the government the things that you owe the government, but render back to God the things that are his. Again, the idea that there's something expected of us. That we're to be Christians, we're to bear fruit, we're to grow in the Lord. There's something expected. We're to render back to God the things that are God's. In this last week, Jesus really has a very pointed message for us to think about our role in God's kingdom. What are we doing? Are we just looking good Christians like the fig tree, or are we producing the kind of fruit that we should for the Lord? We're going to continue that now in John chapter 12. And this is about the last time that Jesus is going to be in public before going to the cross. And though this is the last time he gets to teach, really. And you look at John chapter 12, and we get to turn over there. Before we get to John 12, look over to Proverbs 5. I came across this reading in our daily Bible reading this week, and I thought it so summed up pretty much what we're going to be looking at today. Because the idea of the day is to make sure we use those opportunities, that we use our life as we should. In Proverbs 5, the writer is talking about the problems of immorality in our lives and allowing our lives to go in the directions that they should not. And listen to what he says in Proverbs 5, beginning in verse 11. At the end of your life, will you groan? Will your flesh and body are spent? Will you say, how I hated discipline, how my heart spurned correction? I would not obey my teachers or listen to my instructors. I have come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly. And that's really what we'll be looking at today, is what is your life? And how have you used your life? What do we make of our lives for the Lord? Now look over to John chapter 12. And listen to what Jesus says today, and really the last public discourse he had. Beginning in verse 20, we read these words. Now there were some Greeks among them who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and in turn told Jesus. Now these Greeks came to the festival. The festival there, the feast, is the Passover. And it's actually the Passover where Jesus is going to be crucified. And they come and they want to see Jesus. Now, we don't know a lot about these men. We know that they were referred to as Greeks. In other words, they were not Jews from Jerusalem. They came from somewhere else. And they came to Jerusalem to worship. They met Philip. They knew he was from somewhere else. He was from Bethsaida, up around Galilee. And Philip's a Greek name, so they know here's somebody else that's not from Jerusalem. And so meeting Philip, they asked Philip to bring them to see Jesus. Now, at this time of Jesus' ministry, there's been many that, you know, he spoke to many multitudes. But at other times, people were started turning away. If you look over to John chapter 6, and in chapter 6 of John, in verse 67, he says, actually verse 66, "From this time, many disciples turned back and no longer followed him." That might surprise you. If you look up verse 60, you see where on hearing this, many disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" And so we see Jesus as his teaching becomes maybe not quite what the multitudes want to hear anymore. Many people were starting to turn away from Jesus. Others were turning to Jesus, like these Greeks. And so we see the idea that there are the Jews actually turning away from Jesus. And often people come to Jesus as long as they hear what they want to hear. But when they don't hear quite what they want to hear, then they turn away. These Greeks, we know very little about. They may have been proselytes, that is, they had become Jews. They may have been what were referred to as God-fearing Greeks, those that believed in God, but had not actually become Jews. And so they had come to worship. They were religious. They had come from, we don't know from how far, but they had come to Jerusalem to worship, and now they wanted to even hear Jesus. So often, we might kind of be that same way. We kind of want to hear Jesus as long as he says what we want to hear. But you hear the words of Jesus as we looked at the last couple of weeks, and we're going to hear today, they're not always what we want to hear, but they're always what we need to hear. Listen to what Jesus replies to these men that come to hear him. Picking back up in John chapter 12 and picking up in verse 23. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Now these words, Jesus starts off with, "The hour has come." If you go through the book of John, time is often referred to. And often Jesus says, "My hour has not come." But now that hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Jesus is pointing towards the cross. Much of written in the Gospels, in fact, the entire Gospel of Mark, some people have said, is basically a defense for the cross. Now that may be something we may not think about, that you would have to defend the idea of the cross. But definitely in the minds of the Romans at that time, and even today, you might think about what is so glorious about the cross. You think about the Romans. Who was it that went to the cross? Only the lowest of the low, those that they wanted to humiliate in their death. A Roman citizen could not be crucified. Only a slave or somebody else could be crucified. And it was reserved for those deaths that they wanted to make a spectacle of the person in the most humiliating way that they possibly could. That was what crucifixion was. And so now to tell people where the very Son of God was crucified, what is the glory in that? What do we think about when we think about glory? I don't know if you had the opportunity watching the Olympics that was just ended. But in all the Olympics, the Summer Olympics and the Winter Olympics, when somebody wins a gold medal, what do? They put him up on a podium, and they play the national anthem from that country. And for 4 or 5 minutes while the national anthem is played, they raise the flag of that country. They give glory and honor to the one that's just won the gold medal. That's what we think about when we think about glory, is giving somebody great honor. Playing their national anthem, raising the flag up for them, and everybody basically saluting that person up on a podium while they receive honor. That's glory. But now Jesus says, "I'm going to be glorified, and I'm going to be glorified in the cross." Now that's not a worldly thought. That's not the way the world glorifies people. The cross was to humiliate, degrade somebody. But Jesus is saying, "The time where I will be glorified is now at time." And Mark is now here. In Mark chapter 10, in verse 45, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And they've come to him and they've asked him, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom? Who's going to be honored in your kingdom, Jesus?" And Jesus tells them, the one that's going to be honored is the one who will be last. In other words, the first will be last. He who learns to serve, he who becomes your servant, he is the one that will be lifted up. And he says, that goes even for myself. I did not come to be served, but the Son of Man came to serve. And the honor and the glory comes when we learn to serve and to give our lives for many. Look over to 1 Corinthians. Paul in Corinthians contrasts God's wisdom with the wisdom of this world. And that's really where Jesus is today, to show them that the glory of the cross is really the wisdom that comes different from what we might expect or what we would see from the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, Paul says, "We, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." You might notice how Paul uses the idea of glory even in this passage, contrasting God's wisdom to worldly wisdom and the wisdom and the hour of the cross. Jesus talks about a kernel of wheat falling to the ground. He says, until a kernel of wheat is planted in the ground, it remains just a single kernel. But if it's planted, then it can become many, it can become a great harvest. Of course, this applies to himself and going to the cross. But he also applies it to us, to our lives. That until we learn how to give our lives away, our life stays just a single life. But if we learn to give our lives away, we too can become much more than we were before. Do we love this world? That's really what Jesus is saying. If you want to hold on to this world, that's all you're going to have. But if you learn to give your life away, then you'll have much, much more. And the parable of the kernel of wheat brings that out to us. We're not farmers today. Most of us don't know very much about farming. We try a little bit in our yards and around our houses, maybe a few flowers here and there, but most of them, we're not very good at farming. Back in the 1600s, there was what was called the tulip mania in Holland. You may have read some of this in the crash of the banks and different crashes. But during the tulip mania, they would sell tulips for just phenomenal prices. A single tulip contract would go, if you estimate it in our currency today, at $100,000. A tulip bulb, a single bulb, would go for $3,000 or $4,000. Now, that's kind of hard to imagine. Can you imagine having one tulip bulb that would be worth thousands of dollars? Can you imagine putting it into the ground? And wonder, did I put it in there right? Was it upside down? Is it going to rot down the ground, this $3,000 bulb that I just bought? But until you planted that bulb, it would have a harvest. But this bulb that was worth so much, what would it be worth if you put it back up on a shelf and tried to protect it? Well, it might be worth a little bit for a while, but it's really worthless on a shelf. It's only worth anything if you do put it in the soil and you do get a harvest from it. And so it is with our lives. What is our lives? What's your life worth? What's your life going to be worth, say, in 50 years? Well, many of us are going to be dead in 50 years. I don't know how many of us, but some of us will be. What's our life worth then? See, what is your life worth if you try to hold on to it? If you try to preserve it and hold on and hoard your life, what's it going to be worth? Maybe for a short time, but it's going to pass away. But if you learn to give your life away, Jesus is saying you're going to gain eternal life. You're going to gain the whole world. And that's the message that Jesus tries to get us to see this today. It's not an easy message to hear. It's not one that we always want to hear. The idea of giving our lives away, to give everything we have away in order to receive eternal life. We have a tendency to be selfish and want to hoard. And Jesus says we need to learn to give that away. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul contrasts that which is real with that which is not real. And it's not an easy message for us to see, but it's one that's repeated throughout the Gospels and the writings. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talking about his own life, about basically how he was facing death. He says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And that's what Jesus wants us to see today. The farmer plants a seed and receives a great harvest. He doesn't receive a harvest unless he's willing to plant the seed. So it is with our lives. If we hoard and hold on to our lives, what will we have? But if we learn to give our lives away, if we learn to give our lives to the Lord, if we learn the glory of service, then we can truly reap eternal life. And that's what Jesus brings us to today. Look over now to the next part. And Jesus brings this down to himself when he talks about being lifted up. Look at John chapter 12, verse 27. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then the voice came from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that was there heard it, and they said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now is the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Now think about our Lord. We don't think about Jesus being troubled in spirit. Yet it says at the beginning of this, my hour has come and my heart is troubled. Jesus didn't go to the cross without a troubled heart. It was not an easy time for him. If you look over to Luke chapter 12, you see much the same thought. In Luke chapter 12 happened about 2-3 months before what we just read in John. And Jesus is starting his last trip to Jerusalem, and he knows what awaits him in Jerusalem. And in chapter 12 of Luke, we have recorded verse 49. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Today, when the hour has come in our lesson, Jesus says, my heart is troubled. It's not an easy road that I go. Jesus chose us the way we go. He doesn't say it's always going to be easy for us. It wasn't easy for him. And it wasn't easy for him to go to the cross. But he says, when I am lifted up, when I am on that cross, I will draw all men. Then I will become the Savior of all the world. Why did Jesus come to this earth? We talk about Jesus coming to this earth because of the love of God. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If you look over to John chapter 1 and verse 4, the very idea of the 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9, the writer in John shows us the great example that God has given to us in Jesus. The way that he has really shown us what love is. Why did Jesus come to this earth? To show us the love of God. To show us how God could show his people what love was. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. How did God show love to us? See, this is what the glory of the cross really comes into being. How was the maker of heaven and earth going to show us that he loved us? Could he give us gold or silver? God has an infinite amount of that. Love means giving something that's precious to you. When we love someone, if we're going to show our love, we have to give sacrificially to each other. How could the maker of heaven and earth show us his love? By giving us his one and only Son. To die as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And so God could show us and be the ultimate example of what service. And it's because of that service that we can talk about the cross being the glory of God. Because it's through the cross that God could show us his love for each and every one of us. That's the great sacrifice that God made for us. And so when Jesus says, unless a kernel falls to the ground, it cannot be anything else. It cannot have a harvest. He does it to himself. And he says, if you want to follow me, you have to be like me. I was willing to give myself. We have to be willing to give ourselves in the same way that the Lord has given to us. Now look at the very last part that we get to. As we've read, the idea of the opportunity that God has given to each one of us. This is the last words that Jesus spoke. Verse 35, Jesus told them, "You're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light. Before darkness overtakes you, the man who walks in the dark does not know where he's going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons or children of the light." This really summarizes what Jesus has been saying this whole last week. The idea that you have the opportunity to respond to God. He's given you everything that he could. The parable of the vineyard. He made a vineyard and gave you everything that he could give you, but he wants a harvest back. Jesus says, "I've given you now myself when I'm lifted up on the cross." God has given you everything he could give you. He's been as patient with you as when the servants, after servant, as Jesus went through the parable of the vineyard, how long God was patient with Israel. He's been that way with us. We had the opportunity this morning to be a child of the light, to walk in the light even as God is that light, even as Jesus is our light. We have that opportunity. But he says if you don't use that opportunity, it's not going to be there forever. You have the chance now. That's what he spoke to these people. You have that chance now. But you don't know you'll have it tomorrow. You may not have it next week, but you have it now. To be a child of the light. To give your life away so that you can have eternal life. That's what Jesus offers you this morning. He offers you that this morning. I don't know if you have that chance tomorrow. Throughout the gospel, and especially this last week, Jesus has the idea of time. The idea of my hour has come now. And we sometimes have this idea that, you know, we can just keep going. But we don't know for how long we can keep going. We have to act and use what we've been given now. Think about your life. Are you walking in the light? Are you a true follower of Christ? Have you learned how to give your life away? Then why not learn to do that this morning? Come to your Lord, put him on in baptism, and arise to walk a new life in him. If you've already been one of his, but you haven't been faithful, you haven't truly been a follower of the light, why not come back and become a follower and to truly be faithful to your Lord and Savior? Read over these last week, the last words that Jesus spoke the last week that he was here. And think about your own life, the opportunities that God has given to you. How are you using those? Are you giving back to God the harvest that he expects from you? Are you truly walking in the light as our Savior is that light? If you have the need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing?